I'd to announce behalf of Cynthia said that there will not be choir practice this afternoon. They'll be not be here. Okay? Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. I'll be looking at several passages from Acts, particularly chapter 9, verses 26 through 30, and chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. But if you back up to chapter 4, there was a great need that arose among the believers, and one of the individuals felt led of the Lord because he was such a good and generous, godly man, sold a portion of land and gave it for the needs of the saints. His name was Barnabas, a dedicated layman. Then we read in chapter 9, verses 26 through 30, we see following the conversion of Saul to become the Apostle Paul, he had been persecuting the church, the believers, and was present at the stoning of Stephen. And the Bible tells us after he had been converted, when Paul came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had been seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. And then in chapter 11, beginning in verse number 19, we read this. So those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. When we read these passages of Scripture, the focus seems to be mainly on the Apostle Paul. They were rightly so. But there's another key individual that was absolutely indispensable for the success of the gospel being gotten out. Barnabas was a key individual in not only encouraging the people to accept the Apostle Paul, but also himself being a true follower of Christ and being a great witness of the gospel for the Lord. We need to understand that the key to reaching our world for Christ is found in the pews of our churches. The key is devoted, disciplined, and trained lay people. This is why churches and denominations spend so much time and energy sponsoring training events and conferences for lay people. You see, behind all these programs is the realization that the task facing the modern church is far too great for, quote, the professional staff alone. W.T. Holland makes the following observation, and I quote, he says this, if preachers are the heavy artillery, lay people are the infantry, and heavy artillery never won a battle without infantry support to do hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. To be effective, Every church must have a great group of active lay people taking Christ into all areas of life. I couldn't agree more with what he said. There's no way any pastor is going to be very successful without the help of the lay people and lay people being involved. He must have the support and help. You see, God has called every one of us as a missionary, whether you realize it or not. It was told to me early on, if you are not a missionary, then you need one. We're on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors are to preach and to teach the Word of God, but the lay people have a responsibility to share the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you are, wherever you go. When the book of Acts was written, the distinction between clergy and lay people had not appeared. The distinction we see is between disciples and apostles. Barnabas was not an apostle in the technical sense of the term, but he fulfilled the role of a layman in so many ways that we can properly designate him as Barnabas the layman. There are five qualities that Barnabas possessed that made him such an effective layman. All of us, every one of us, would do well to emulate him if we would be an effective, dedicated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at these five qualities and see if we cannot apply them to our lives where we are and how you can apply them to your life where you are. First of all, one of those qualities was moral values that made him effective. In other words, Barnabas was a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and it was seen in his daily walk with the Lord. People observed him, how he lived and how he walked. The Bible, in verse 24 of Acts chapter 11, says this, he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And then notice this, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. The last part of that verse, number 24, is explained by the first part. Many people came to know the Lord because Barnabas was a good man and full of faith. He was a Spirit-led individual, Spirit-filled individual, controlled by the Spirit of the living God. A pagan culture carefully examined this man's daily life and saw something different in him. You see, his daily walk matched his talk. Goodness is the most desirable quality anyone can have. You've heard it. I've said it myself talking about an individual. He's a good man. Well, that's a good woman. That's a fine, good young person. We like and appreciate personal goodness in the lives of individuals. Goodness is the most desirable quality anyone can have. Goodness is not explained by a person's economic condition, their educational achievements, their profession, or their physical surroundings. It's described by who they are on a daily basis. Where does goodness come from? Goodness, I believe, of character comes out of a sense of being forgiven. This was the beginning for Barnabas, I believe. He was transformed by the power of Almighty God. He had been forgiven of his sins. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, that literally transformed his life into a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. One of the most famous letters in the archives in Washington, D.C., is a letter taken from the body of a deserter whom President Abraham Lincoln had pardoned and sent back to his regiment. Written across the face of the letter are the following words, taken from the body of R. McIntyre, at the Battle of Five Forks, Virginia, 1865. This was the last cavalry action of the war. McIntyre fought to the end. He had been forgiven. He had been pardoned for being a deserter. And I think he was so thrilled that his life was transformed and he became a faithful soldier that he had signed up to be. Anyone who knows the experience of having been forgiven understands the motives that could remake a pardoned deserter. It was a compassionate pardon of Abraham Lincoln that transformed this man's life. Listen, but that cannot compare to the compassionate Christ who pardons us, forgives us of our sins. We have so much to be thankful for. We have been set free from the shackles of sin, pardoned by Almighty God. How can we not live a good and godly life before Him on a daily basis? The consciousness of being pardoned sinners is a tremendous motive for moral excellence for Christians. I believe this was the case with Barnabas. He was transformed by the power of the gospel. James Hamilton points this out. Goodness is love in action. Love with his hand to the plow. Love with the burden on its back. Love following the footsteps, his footsteps, who went about continually doing good. We sing that old hymn at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, caring not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy thou was great and grace was free, pardon thou was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary. Why? Because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pardoned you and me. We have forgiveness of sin because of his shed blood on Calvary's cross. The compassionate Christ forgives us. What is more wonderful than forgiveness of sin? When we go around carrying this heavy burden of guilt around, it just weighs us down and we cannot function like we ordinarily would and need to. But when we realize Jesus says, I forgive, you're cleansed, set free. You talk about when Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. Free to live, free to love, free to serve in a way like never before because of forgiveness. And it changes your character. Goodness of character comes out of a sense of being forgiven. But I'll tell you something else. Goodness of character is also the result of the fullness of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit was evident in Barnabas. Love, fruit of love and joy and peace. Goodness and kindness and faith and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit was evident in this man's life, and it needs to be in our lives as well. Goodness will demonstrate itself in gentleness of character. Doesn't mean you're weak, but it means you have a compassionate heart toward those who are outside the faith. Goodness is learned from the example of others. The disciples learned goodness from spending time with Jesus. That's how we learn goodness too, is it not? By we spend time with the Lord Jesus in his word and in prayer and in serving him. This impacted Barnabas. Spending time with Jesus can have the same impact on us. The attitude will then influence others. You remember Ronald Reagan was attempted to be assassinated. And his attitude after the 82 attempt on his life made an impression on his daughter, Patty Davis. She said this, "The following day, my father said he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health and healing. He gave me an example of Christ-like thinking." Barnabas' moral values made him an effective, devoted, dedicated, true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was characterized by goodness in his life. Secondly, another quality that made him the man that he was a spirit-given grace that distinguished his churchmanship. You see him going along with the Apostle Paul, teaching people, establishing churches, establishing people in the faith. But notice something else. He gave liberally of his material possessions. At a time when the Jerusalem church was in great need, Barnabas sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, according to Acts 4:37. His generosity was a work of the Holy Spirit and of his faith. Most of the financial problems of the modern church can be traced to neglect of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in control, people give liberally. I want to commend you, the people of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, for your generosity in giving. Last 2 years have been the greatest years. I've been here 8 years this month. And the last 2 years have been the greatest in giving it's been since we've been here. And through all the COVID, through all what we're facing, through the devastation of our sanctuary, you still have continued to give. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. God's going to honor that. And we need to understand something. The story's not over yet. God's still in control. He's going to guide us and direct us to do something that's even better than what we're dealing with right now. And even though we were disappointed that the bank did not grant a loan, they're not the only bank around. Somebody else got some money too. And we believe God's going to come through and it'll be even better in the days ahead. But not only did Barnabas give liberally of his material possessions, he gave liberally of his time. He was a missions volunteer before the term was ever coined. His trip to Antioch took time. His preaching there took time. His journey to Tarsus to seek Saul and his part in helping solve the Judaizing controversy, all of it took time. Now, he couldn't go hop on a jet and go over there and have the conference and come back the same day. It took time to walk. And that's what they did. They walked from place to place, but they took time. He gave of himself liberally and freely. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church cannot go forward in the work of our Lord without many lay persons giving willingly of their time. I'm so grateful. We got some lay people here that have given willingly of their time, even in rebuilding of the sanctuary, taking care of these grounds, taking care of this building. It's been absolutely wonderful. It's untold how many thousands of dollars have been saved by people just giving of their time to do the work themselves instead of having it hired done. And it's done out of love. That's what I appreciate so much. Doing it willingly and joyfully. That's what has kept this church going. And I'm thankful for all that you're doing. Francis J. Roberts challenged us this way. He says, be about your Father's business. There'll always be plenty of other people occupied with the affairs of the world. And that's so true. If we're about the Father's business, let the other crowd take care of the other stuff. We just need to be about the Father's business. And he'll take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, will he not? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added to you. Take care of the Father's business. That's what we're to be about as a people. It's going to take time and dedication and prayer to be on Mount Pisgah the way God wants it to be. And to reach this community with the gospel. We need to willingly give of ourselves. That was Barnabas. He gave liberally of his material possessions, of his time, and he gave willingly of himself. You see, Barnabas not only gave money and time, but also his energy, his influence, his insight, his heart, his mind, and will were all on the altar of service to the Lord. Years ago, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen said this. Listen carefully. Every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose. Time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with it as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain forever what you make it. So it is so important how we use our time and our lives for the glory of God. If we do it all for the glory of God, think about it. It's going to go into eternity, folks. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account of what we did with our Christian lives. And won't it be wonderful one day when he calls us home to walk through those portals of glory and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of your Lord. You won't regret any minute, any second, any time, anything you've given to the Lord down here, I guarantee you, when you stand face to face with Jesus. It'll be a time of great joy and praise and thanksgiving. God has given us the gift of life. The best thing we can do in return is to give that life back to him in faithful service. Barnabas had the spirit of grace that distinguished his churchmanship. He was a steward, a biblical steward, that characterized his life as a follower of Christ. The third quality that made him such a dedicated laborer was he had spiritual insight that enabled him to see leadership qualities in others. Spiritual insight is just one facet of faith. Faith in God and faith in people enables us to see the potential in other people. Howard Von Wood, my pagan pastor for 18 years and 3 months, at Olive Branch Baptist Church back in Purcell County, saw something in me I never saw in myself at that time. He kept coming to me, asking me to take leadership roles. And when God, I finally yielded, it took me 6 months to finally yield to the call to preach. He told me and told Peggy, he said, Peggy, we knew it 6 months ago, didn't we, that God was dealing with me. He saw potential in me. He used to call me Silent Sam. You've heard me say that before. I'd rather be on my own, kind of a loner. But he saw potential in me, but not only me, but in our best friend in ministry, Leo Lowry. The average person would never have thought Leo Lowry would end up being a preacher of the gospel. Leo was very shy. I'll never forget, we sit in Sunday school class together, and when the teacher would ask a question about Leo, he'd punch his wife like this and says, you answer. You know what I think. That was Leo. And he had a stuttering problem. And he was feeling the call to ministry, and he drove a Pepsi truck that serviced drink machine. And he says, I wouldn't listen to God until he locked me out of my truck and wouldn't let me back in one day down around Oxford. And he said, when I finally said, Lord, I'll listen to you, I could get back in my truck. Well, God called him on his second pastorate to the Redbud Baptist Church up in Wood. Joe knows where that church is. Went there with about 50 or 60 people. And he just ministered to those people for 22 years. And at the end of his ministry there, they were running 150, 175, way out in the country. He just reached people that were there with the gospel. He was stuck by the good stuff of the gospel. Because Howard Von Wood, our pastor, saw potential in him, leadership qualities. Leo's with the Lord now, one of the best friends in the ministry I've ever had. Quite an example of faithfulness and dedication to the Lord. Barnabas was able to see potential in other people because he was a man of faith. He believed in God. He saw great potential in the Apostle Paul. When everyone else in Jerusalem church was suspicious of Paul, Barnabas stood up for him. He was so convinced that Paul's conversion was genuine that he staked his good name in Jerusalem and his influence with the apostle on Paul's testimony. He also saw great potential in John Mark. John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. Most likely Barnabas suggested that Mark accompany him and Paul on their first missionary journey because he was his cousin. When Mark deserted them at Perga in Pamphylia, the Apostle Paul could not overlook this and refused to let him go on his second missionary journey. But Barnabas and Paul went their separate ways in their work because of this. But later events proved Barnabas right and Paul wrong. You see, Paul later used Mark as a helper. Colossians 4:10 talks about it, being with him. And then in 2 Timothy 4:11, he told Timothy, he said, bring Mark with me. He's useful to me. See, Paul had changed his mind because of Barnabas' influence. He saw leadership qualities in John Mark. By the way, Mark's gospel was written by John Mark. He saw potential in him. How many Marks are there? How many will there be in Mount Pisgah Baptist Church that just need someone like Barnabas to not only see their potential, but also to stand by them and be an encourager? How many preachers of the gospel and missionaries are already here, and all they need is some lay person to be a Barnabas to them? How many around here, these young people that do come, we need more young people coming, and we need to be an encourager to them to follow the Lord's guide and God's leadership in their lives, that God can use them in a tremendous, tremendous way. Barnabas' spiritual insight enabled him to see leadership qualities in others. What about you and me? There's a fourth quality that distinguished him as a dedicated layman. He had the spiritual quality of loyalty that gave him stability. Boy, if there's ever anything in quality that is needed today in God's people, it's loyalty. Loyalty. In the dispute with Paul over John Mark, Barnabas revealed a virtue rarely mentioned in the New Testament, that of loyalty. There's an Old Testament relationship that comes to mind that illustrates loyalty, that of David and Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son. And King Saul was trying to take David's life, but Jonathan loved David. They became fast friends, and Jonathan was loyal to David, protecting his life time and time again out of loyalty in their friendship. W.T. Holland said this, "The absence of loyalty makes traitors, its presence heroes." Churches have always needed loyal laypersons like Barnabas, but never more than today. Boy, we need loyal lay people today. How we need them today. Loyalty seems to be a lost virtue in the church today, sadly. If something happens that some people don't like, they don't agree with, they leave. They don't surpass blessings, they surpass support, the love, the history, and heritage seem to mean nothing to many anymore. A layperson that will stick with the church through thick and thin will see their faith and loyalty vindicated, I fully believe. They will experience with the church marvelous victories that God gives, which others who leave never see. It is that loyalty that causes a local congregation to remain strong and continue to thrive and flourish and grow. We need loyalty today. And then lastly, that was a spirit of humility that enabled him to play second fiddle. Boy, that's a unique quality, isn't it? There are so many people who cannot play a support role because they do not have a humble spirit. Someone said, and they must be the lead mule or they won't pull. Barnabas demonstrated a spirit of humility on at least two occasions. He showed humility in seeking Paul's help in the work at Antioch. We see this in chapter 11, verse 25. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul. Why? To bring him back. Barnabas knew that the apostle Paul had God's hand so strongly on him and was such a highly educated individual that he would be able to meet the needs of people that he couldn't meet. He wasn't jealous of Paul. He was just magnifying the fact that God had his hand on Paul in a unique way, and he knew that. He was willing to take a secondary role. It's not easy for us to admit that we are in over our heads and need help. It takes a lot of grace to admit that there needs to be someone with greater talent and ability to handle the situation that we are involved in. But that is what Barnabas did. It meant that he would demote himself from the lead position to second place. Folks, that takes grace. That takes grace. It takes humility to recognize that someone has a greater leadership capability than I have, and be most beneficial to the body of Christ if that individual is willing to step aside and say, hey, I want God's church to thrive and grow. If this person can do a better job than me, then I'm willing to take a secondary role to see that that is carried out. We need to have that quality. He showed humility in seeking Paul's help in the work at Antioch. But he also played a supporting role to Paul in their first missionary journey. In their call to mission, the Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them in Acts 13:2. In chapter 13:7, Luke writes about the first proconsul Sergius Paulus who sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But in verse 13, Luke writes of Paul and his companions. Barnabas knew this would be the case before they ever set foot in a boat to begin their journey. He knew that Paul would be the lead person in this place. I wrote a note talking about this. My country comes out. See, Barnabas knew that Paul would be the lead dog in that race, the lead one. There are some cases when others need to take the lead. I don't mind stepping aside at all in certain situations, especially here at this church. There's some men in this church, an individual in this church, who can do things that I can't do. I'm there willing to help. But I'm thankful for what they're able to do. Great preachers are needed in the work of the kingdom, but no preacher can accomplish much without great laypersons supporting his leadership. Dedicated laypersons are absolutely indispensable to the continued health and growth of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. Such individuals need moral values. They need a spirit of grace giving. They need spiritual insight. There needs to be loyalty and humility. Someone said this, I'll remind all of us of this very thing. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Folks, listen. It's going to take obedience to the word of God to fulfill the calling of a dedicated layperson. The question is, are you ready to obey God's call today? Many of you obey his call every week, and I'm so grateful that you willingly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But there may be somebody else here today who needs to make a fresh commitment and say, hey, I haven't been doing all I can do. God has been calling me, and I want to be obedient to his call. I want to just give my life to be that layperson that God called me to be. Listen, you're the key to the growth of this church, to the welfare of God's kingdom through this fellowship. What are you willing to do? What kind of commitment are you willing to make today? If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, Barnabas had to do that. I've had to do that. And if you're a Christian, that's the time when you had to make that decision. If you're not a believer, what better day than to give your life to Christ than today? Say, hey, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus. I want to serve him. I want him to save me so I can serve him. A hymn of decision today, hymn number 434, I've decided to follow Jesus. Make that decision to follow him in salvation. Make that decision to follow him in making a commitment to be that dedicated layperson God has called you to be. And it just may be that could be somebody here even today that God is calling to the gospel ministry, and you want to follow his call on your life. Then yield to him and let him lead you in the days ahead. Would you come as we stand and sing? I have decided to follow Jesus, 434.